Sports, episode 83. Tony Korlogos from the Hooked on Golf blog. This week on the Tech of Sports, we'll talk about the Hooked on Golf blog, and Netcast Studio produces great content you can listen to anytime and online. Go to netcaststudio.com and check it all out. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. The Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. And don't forget, a new partner here at Netcast Studio is lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com. You get a 7-day free membership on tutorials and just learning how to do all sorts of things at netcaststudio.com/lynda. Just welcome everyone tonight to the Tech of Sports, and a cool guest tonight, and we're going to talk some golf and talk about more about golf writing and running a golf blog and golf websites than probably golf. But great to have Tony on the line. And Tony is the founder of the Hooked on Golf blog, and it's one of the very first golf blogs established way back in 2004. He has more than 5,000 posts, 20,000 golf pictures that are great to look at. And over the years, he's taken numerous golf trips, reviewed golf product, and his golf blog has stood the test of time. So just great to have him on, a dedicated golfer and writer. And maybe we'll even talk about, he happens to be a little musician, has a little musician background as well. So Tony, thanks for coming on to talk about Hooked on Golf blog and all your other sites and everything else you got going on.
Thanks, Rick. I'm really happy to be here. I'm looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, this is a kind of a long form interview, Tony, so you're going to have to put up with me for about 35 minutes or so, but we got plenty to talk about. And I guess we'll start out talking about your the main site that most people know you from. It's Hooked on Golf blog, and just a wealth of information, lots of things going on. And just kind of talk about your the thought behind starting the site and kind of the infancy of the Hooked on Golf blog.
In the early 2000s, my best friend started a blog that was a political blog called the Command Post. And it became extremely popular. This was before anybody knew what blogs were. Nobody even knew the word. And he had numerous writers on there that were embedded in all sorts of places. And he was getting all sorts of scoops, political scoops, and you name it. And eventually, a lot of news outlets like CNN and USA Today were getting some of their stories and their scoops from this from this website. He told me, he says, "Hey, blogs are going to be the hottest thing, man. You've got to start one." And I said, "Well, what do I write about?" And he said, "Write about something you love." And I said, "Well, let's see, golf, strippers, and pizza, so I'm not sure which one." And I think I picked the wrong one as far as money goes, but I ended up picking the golf one and just sort of learning the ropes and just learning by experience, starting up back in 2004.
And were you having fun with it back then?
When I started out, there was, there wasn't necessarily a goal in mind, it needs to become X popular or make X dollars, or, it was a little bit of an artistic outlet, just to write about the game, write about my experiences, log the progress of my game. And then sort of see where it went from there. And, over the course of time, things change, your responsibilities change. So, it morphed a little bit to, as it gained in popularity, I started finding out that my web hosting was becoming inadequate, and I got kicked out of several internet service providers because I was hogging up all their bandwidth. At those points, it started to become an expense because I had to be able to support it. That's when I, sort of started thinking, well, I better put some ads on here. I better try and see if I can make this thing pay for itself. So, in that respect, it changed a little bit, but I've always tried to keep it as authentic as possible. And, it's still a lot of fun. It's quite different. I've refined it over the years and met a lot of people, traveled a lot of great places, checked out a lot of great gear over that course of time.
And I know your readers are having fun reading it. And it's also a great site. You get a lot of feedback and there's a lot of interaction on the site. Are you surprised, the number of comments and all the interaction?
Yeah, with the social networks, these days you get more interaction on Facebook and Twitter and in those, people are headline readers anymore. They comment on your updates on your social networks. But I really love the interaction of comments in any form, whether it's straight on the blog or in the social networks. There's a lot of people out there, you don't realize the people are reading what you're writing. It's kind of funny, you write something and you're not thinking, oh, there's some guy on the other end of this, and this article, made this guy happy, or he decided to buy this driver because of it, or maybe, you know, you were critical of Tiger Woods or something, and he's a Tiger fan and he's mad at you. And so when you get that interaction, it's really fun because it gives you a really good idea of who's reading and what their opinions are. And, you know, and helps you, you know, come up with more material.
As any of the interactions or the comments and the feedback you get, does that help you decide which content?
No, not necessarily. If I get somebody that's, you know, really curious what my opinion is on a golf course or a certain brand of golf ball, I'll try to oblige them if I can. If someone chimes in and points out that I'm incorrect, then that, you know, and maybe I did my fact checking wrong, or I didn't do any fact checking, or, you know, I was just mistaken, then I'll definitely go in and fix things like that. But as far as program material goes and what I decide to write about, I don't have a big structure there. On a daily basis, I just sort of crack open my cranium and see what falls out onto the table and sort out the mess and see if I can put something to words.
As you know, Tony, golf is not one of the four major sports in this country. I mean, golfers would hate hearing that, but it's not football, baseball, basketball, or even hockey. It's a big niche sport. You know, golf has kind of taken a beating since the economy went bad X number of years ago. Kind of talk about what your opinion of the state of the sport is right now and kind of where we're heading.
Yeah, you know, it's a big topic of discussion right now. It's very hot in the golf world and even in the business world. Magazines like Forbes are coming out with articles about how the game is struggling. Just recently, there was news announced that Dick's Sporting Goods fired 500 PGA pros that they had staffed. Each Dick's Sporting Goods had a PGA pro on staff to help people, you know, with their equipment and their purchases. You know, there are a few ways you can look at the state of the game. I mean, there's the media side and the TV side, which Tiger Woods has been a big influence on. You know, and there have been many articles and many, you know, studies showing that when Tiger's playing, that ad revenues and viewership is up big time, which is true. But there are people who make the mistake of crossing Tiger over into every facet of the industry, and really, whether or not Tiger Woods is playing this weekend isn't going to make me decide whether I'm going to play nine holes with my buddies on Thursday evening. So there's been this, you know, concern that as Tiger's, you know, not been playing as much, not been playing as well, that he's costing the industry as much as $15 billion and all this. And when Tiger doesn't play, he costs certain parts of the industry money, mainly TV and internet and those, you know, places that are writing and showing Tiger. But as far as equipment sales and golf course revenue and things like that, I don't think he has an effect. I think what's really affecting that is the fact that, you know, there's a few things really. I mean, golf is hard, and you know, I'm quite vocal about my own frustrations with trying to get better, and it's not easy. It takes a lot of time to improve. So, you know, it's a very difficult game. And then speaking of time, it takes a lot of time to play. You know, when you find a crowded municipal course, you could be looking at 4.5-5 hours or more to play around a golf. And in today's, you know, busy times when you've got kids' soccer games and, you know, your work and your family and all your other extracurricular activities, it's really hard to find a 4 or 5 hour window to go play golf. And that's not including if you want to show up and practice for an hour, or if there's drive time to and from. You know, you're looking all of a sudden at a whole day event. So, you know, the time factor is a big deal. You know, and there are other expenses as well. It's very expensive in a lot of ways. I mean, equipment's expensive. Rounds of golf are expensive and overpriced. So, you know, those are a few of the contributing factors to the decline of the game and the concern that a lot of people have. And some people are trying to, you know, change those things. The CEO of TaylorMade Golf is started this Hack Golf. I don't know if you've heard of it, but what they're trying to do, rather than fixing some of the problems the game has, they're trying to change some things. I mean, I guess they think they're fixing the problems. They're trying to change the game by you know, making bigger holes instead of a, you know, 4 3/4 hole or whatever the size is. They're trying to make a 15-inch hole because it's easier, speeds up play. You know, there are other initiatives by the USGA, play 9 holes. I don't think these things are ever going to succeed because the core of the real game is the same and it still takes a long time to play. And these days with, you know, all of the distractions and the other activities and the other things that we have, I just don't think it's going to be at the level that the companies, you know, the golf club manufacturers and the apparel manufacturers and the golf courses want it to be. Sure. I think when, you know, we had a bit of an economic boom in the late 90s, golf courses overbuilt. There were too many courses built, too much real estate based on golf courses. And when all that tanked, the golf industry took a big hit and it hasn't bounced back and it's not bouncing back. And I think sort of like the tech bubble, I think you're going to have a golf bubble and it's close to bursting. It's leaking air pretty bad right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've written extensively about the hack golf stuff. I at least give them credit for, you know, trying to think and be creative. They have the traditionalists up in arms a lot, but I'll give them credit for realizing there are some problems and they're trying to think about it. But you gave a great answer there on, you know, kind of what's wrong with golf. I kind of wanted to ask you what kind of works and doesn't work when you're deciding what to put up on your site. When you mentioned Tiger Woods in an article, does that help you? When Tiger's playing, you see your site getting more hits. Is there a Tiger Woods effect with your site?
There is absolutely a Tiger Woods effect with my site. My traffic can as much as triple or quadruple if Tiger is in the mix. If he makes the weekend, if he's in the lead, if it looks like he might win, my traffic, even for articles and photos that aren't related to Tiger, go through the roof. And that's why you see the golf media over covering Tiger. It's Tiger, 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 even when he's not playing, you know, because that's their gravy train, you know. But with all the blogs and all the outlets out there writing about Tiger, I think that, you know, I try to keep my writing about him to a minimum because it just becomes just washed out and it just becomes part of this big bunch of noise. So I try to keep my Tiger comments to a minimum unless I feel I have something that my readers will value.
Him back playing, I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities to write about what he's got going on. So yeah, he does stir the pot, and anytime you mention Tiger Woods in an article, the searches, hits do seem to go up. So there's a good thing and that's also a bad thing. So Tony, you also do a lot of product reviews, golf and things maybe on the fringe of golf. How fun is it I kind of know what this is all about, to get the items and people that want to try you to try their products, and talk about some of the recent stuff you've had.
I'll back up a little bit though and go back to the early days. When I started the blog, I didn't have the intention of getting free gear or free golf shirts or free rounds of golf or any of this stuff. That wasn't the intention. The intention was to write about golf and my experiences and all of that. One day in 2004-ish, I was a little bored with the look of my site and thought that, well, it's a golf site, it needs to look like a golf site. So I found a photo of a Titleist Pro V1 and I put it in the upper right hand corner. And I was very happy. I didn't know much about web design at the time. And I said, hey, great, you know, my site looks like a golf site now. There's a golf ball up there. Well, about 15 minutes later, I got an email from a guy who worked for TaylorMade. And he said, hey, you know, I see you put a golf ball up in your website. What do you think about maybe, you know, thinking about whether or not you want to put that ball up there, and I'll send you some product to review. So basically what he was saying, and this is a PR person, but he was basically saying, hey, you know, I'll send you some product to test, you know, if you take that Titleist ball down. So I said, okay, why not? What do I care? You know, sure. So he sent me some prototype golf balls, and I was able to test them out before, you know, the purchasing public got their hands on them. And all of a sudden I was this informed guy telling my readers, you know, hey, here's this ball that hasn't come out yet. Here's what's good about it. Here's what I like, and so on and so forth. And that was sort of an eye opener because I hadn't thought of that, the review thing at that point in time, and really no other blogs were doing much in the way of reviews at that time. That's when I realized, hey, you know, I should be reviewing gear, because there were some good reactions, and all of a sudden I'd made a connection with TaylorMade. You know, it was like a dream come true. You know, over the course of the years, I've reviewed hundreds and hundreds of clubs and shirts and gadgets and apps and you name it. And some of them are really great, and some of them really suck. You know, I've had some really weird ones. Like there's one called the Euro Club, UROCLUB, and it's a golf club you pee in. So it's for those men that have bladder control issues, or just, you know, can't seem to find the outhouse fast enough. There's a club in your bag. You unscrew the top. You put a little towel cover over yourself. You put your male parts down this little shaft of this club, and you pee in it. And then you screw the lid shut, and you put it back in your bag, and you dump it when you're done with the round. You know, that's a quite bizarre product. But when you think about it, there's a use for it, and it keeps us from sort of, you know, running the risk of having an indecent exposure ticket, I guess. You know, there's other ones, like potty putter is a fun one. You know, it's that's a little golf set that you have a little green, a little putter, and a hole. And when you're sitting on the toilet taking care of business, you can practice your putting. That one's worked well for me. My putting's improved as a result of that. You know, there's all sorts of, there's also a lot of junk out there. And I feel for the golf entrepreneurs that have this great idea in their mind, and they spend $50,000 patenting it, and they spend their life savings making 1,000 units and having them shipped from China, only to realize that they don't sell, they can't get them in Dick's Sporting Goods. I've received a lot of these kind of products, and usually what I'll do is if I find a product that I would not use myself, I'll just refrain from writing anything about it. I try to keep my reviews positive if possible.
I try to do the same thing, and really, yeah. The amount of products, it's endless, Tony. It keeps going on, and you know, for me, it's even worse. Because I do just general technology things too, and that's while golf may be the number one sport. Want you to look at gear, or other facets of society. It's really endless, and like you said, there is a lot. I applaud you for trying to at least keep things positive and not trashing one publicly that invests a lot of time and money in something that they feel strongly about. So that's part of doing business, sure. You also do a great job with course reviews, and I think you kind of look like. Aim it towards a golfer when you're reviewing a course. You're not talking about playing from the tips and that type of thing. Most golfers do. So I applaud you for giving a thorough but useful course reviews as well.
Yeah, I try to be, you know, as first person as I can when I'm doing reviews. You know, this is a fun course. It doesn't have to be a hard course for me to give it a good review. In fact, hard courses could get a less favorable review. It's just a matter of the experience you have. And if the facilities are great and the staff is helpful and the course is fun and it's in good condition, then to me, those are the things that are your average golfer are looking for. You know, we're not all tour pros, like you said. And I don't need to, kill myself on a 7,800 yard course and shoot a billion to have fun.
No, you're right. And, the course reviews are one thing, but also golfers love to travel, and you get to do some great trips, and you also do a great job with kind of saying golfer might experience when they go away on a trip to play golf, and then just kind of the other things around that. I was on a trip with you, and you kind of we kind of know how it works, and it's you want to explain what is going on in a particular destination, but you also want to interject your own opinions in there as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to golf travel than the golf course you're going to. I mean, hotels are a big deal for me. I review a lot of hotels. I have just a couple of requirements for me to be happy with a hotel. It's got to have a hot shower with a lot of water pressure, and the bag can't sag. You know,
oh yeah.
On that, it doesn't need to be the Ritz-Carlton. You know, for a golfer, a lot of times we're spending a lot of money on the golf itself, and we're on a budget, so we're not, you know, looking to spend a ton of dough in a hotel. So I try to give the readers, you know, those aspects, decent restaurants in town, other activities. They, you know, maybe they can go to a baseball game or a basketball game or a national park nearby or something when they're not playing. So, you know, the travel aspect is one that I've really enjoyed, and it's been a blast to travel to a lot of great places and meet a lot of great people along the way as well.
And Tony, give your, before we wrap up here with a couple more questions, give your all your contact information and any of the sites that you have that you want to promote.
Sure. I've built several other golf sites along the way over the past 9-10 years. Another one I built is called The Golf Space, which is at www.thegolfspace.com. It's sort of a social networking site. It's been around since 2006. There are about 6,500 members there. You can track your golf scores, handicap. There's a forum, you know. It's just strictly for golf, but it's a social networking site. I built a site here for my home state called the Utah Golf Guru, utahgolfguru.com. It's a listing of all the courses in Utah with photos and with comments. If the range balls suck, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you what my favorite holes are and my favorite courses to play and have some playing tips. I also have a news wire called Hogwire, which is sort of a sister site to Hooked on Golf blog. It's at hogwire.biz. I get a lot of PR press releases from companies, and rather than filling up my blog with a bunch of PR, I decided to keep them happy that I would build a whole other site just for news, golf news releases. And, you know, I've gotten food reviews going on my blog. I've had people sending me barbecue sauce and frozen steaks and all sorts of stuff, and started getting so many food items that I started a food site called Mega Chomp. I think I like to build things, I guess. And if you want to reach me, you can go to hookedongolfblog.com, and there's a contact there under the info menu. I'd love to hear from your listeners.
Sure. And you do like to build things, Tony, and your latest project is one that you built with the intention combining kind of with your photography and either, you know, photographing courses from angles people have never seen before, or just other things as well. Talk about that that time-consuming, money-consuming, massive drone that you built.
Yeah. So towards the end of last year, my wife bought me for my birthday a little small helicopter, a remote control helicopter, and I was able to hang a GoPro from it. And I went to my home course and took it for a flight and promptly crashed it into a tree. And when I brought it home and looked at the photos, I thought it was really neat, but the photos sucked. GoPros aren't really great for still images, and the angles were bad as the helicopter would pitch and roll. The orientation of the camera would be all screwed up. So since January of this year, I decided that I was going to build myself a large photographic video drone. And it's about 5 feet wide. Can carry quite a load. It's probably about 20 pounds. And from this drone, I will be hanging much higher quality cameras, which can either shoot HD video or still images. And I've had an absolute blast building it, learning about it, and flying over some golf courses and getting some really incredible photography. You know, I've just gotten started in this, but I'm having a blast, and it's a lot of fun.
How long before you build a site called golfdrone.com?
I'd be willing to bet that URL is already taken. But
probably.
I did start a site for that called ambientflight.com. It's just sort of a blog format, just to sort of document my sort of similar to the way I started the golf blog, just to sort of document my times and my experiences in the drone world. And you know, that's just barely getting started, and it could be big. It's going to be a big industry as long as the FAA doesn't shut it down.
How many strange looks are you getting when you put that thing up in the air?
Usually people are curious, and they think it's really cool. But there are people, those sort of paranoid people, who think that the only reason you're doing it is to invade their privacy and and take pictures of them skinny dipping or doing whatever they're doing in their backyard. And most people don't realize that I'm just not that interested in them. I would rather fly over a golf course. I had one lady came up to me and saw me flying a drone, and she said, that's the thing you can steal phone conversations with. And I said, no, man, the NSA is doing that.
You should be the least of her worries.
That's right.
Yeah. Tony, great stuff. Give your quick contact information one more time.
You bet. The website is Hooked on Golf Blog. So it's just, that's it, hookedongolfblog.com. You can reach me there. You can send me an email to tony@thegolfspace.com as well. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus.
You're everywhere, Tony, and I recommend it. I want to check out the hookedongolfblog.com and your email again, tony@thegolfspace.com. Send your questions, legitimate questions. Don't bother them too much, but just a wealth of information. And Tony, I ask my guest one last question as we wrap up each show. What's the one gadget today that you can't live without?
Well, in the golf world, I'd have to say that would be my laser rangefinder. I like to at least live by the illusion that I know how far I can hit my clubs and I have some accuracy. So having a laser rangefinder is a pretty invaluable tool for me. I have a hard time without it.
I'm glad you didn't say the Euro.
But as I get a little older, I'll probably become more dependent on the Euro club.
Real quickly on how the cameras have improved so much on smartphones and iPhones now that you actually can get some great quick shots on a golf course with your smartphone.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the resolution and the quality and even the ability to shoot some HDR type photos, even in, smartphones is great. I mean, it's a blast. If you're out there, take pictures, man. It's a great way to preserve your memories and, maybe some alien race will find them all and learn something about us when we've been dead and gone for millions of years.
Thanks for coming on. Great having you as a friend and a colleague, and I look forward to seeing you and talking to you soon.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate it, and best of luck on all of your media empire.
Thanks, Tony. Just want to let everyone know that Netcast Studio has many other shows which could be of interest to you. You can head over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the shows that are available. So that wraps it up for tonight with Tony